I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics. Politics. Humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio. It's show number 130. My name is Bart. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. You're too kind. Thank you. Thank you. You're too kind. Thank you. Oh, they're done. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio, show number 130. We got a good one for you today, we think. For the 25th time, I've come up with a new idea. How to make more shows more quicker, more sooner. I'll explain that as we get into it. It's a jam-packed show. Couldn't fit everything in the one disc. So we're not going to make this a double disker. We got an extra jump on next week's radio show, and that's how I think you'll like it. Got a big, big show for you today. Don't want to waste too much time. Let's get into the shot of Chinaco. Extra tasty. This bottle is brought to me by my good friend Rue. That's R-O-O. He's from Houston. He flew in with a bottle of Chinaco. You can't hardly beat that. Air delivery. But tell you what, the show is so jam-packed today. Got no time to waste. Let's get right to it with a big, big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Going to try a new thing here now. Going to try to put the quotes that you usually get on the page. Going to try to put them in the radio show. Going to see what happens. Like to hear it. Here it go. First one from the vulgar pig boy, our old friend Rush Limbaugh. The poor little diseased man. Got that syphilis from that little kid in Dominican Republic. Now it's racked his brain. He can't go to a doctor because they didn't want the doctor to tell that he's got the syphilis on himself, on his private part. So he didn't go to the doctor. So those little syphilis worms ate into his brain, and that's why he's not making any sense. But got a couple of quotes for you. First one, I think that Laura Bush ought to get into the presidential race on the Republican side. Why, she's been right by George Bush's side for almost 8 years. She's seen it all up close. She's done everything Mrs. Clinton has done, says the idiot pig boy. Well, Rush, it doesn't work like that. Number one, her husband is an idiot, and he's the worst president ever in the history of America. So being an eyewitness to the biggest dope-ass ever ran the White House, yeah, maybe she could do everything the opposite way and do a half-decent job, but it doesn't work that way. Biggest problem for Pickles is Republican women aren't allowed to have their own opinions. For instance, Pickles is pro-choice, but you hardly ever hear that because she's not allowed to have her own opinions. Her job is to stand there and say, great idea, honey. Every time her monkey husband says we need to invade some nation, kill their leaders, and force the inhabitants to convert to peace-loving Christians like we are here in America. But, you know, like I say, Pickles is pro-choice. So is George Bush's mother, Barbara Bush, the animal. And the kids are both pro-choice, and so is Nancy Reagan. I think most Republican women are pro-choice, But they might not tell you that. Now, see, what it is, they're pro-life, except if they were to get pregnant, well, now it's different. That's different. Now, this is serious. This is me, and it's right here, and it's right now. You know, I know in principle I'm pro-life, but in this particular situation, I need to be pro-choice because I got a skiing vacation I want to go to, and I can't be skiing while I'm 1 or 2 months pregnant, so I think I'll just terminate this baby. That's how them Republican women think. So that was quote number one from Rush Limbaugh. Now, the other thing we're going to try to do, we're going to try to move the letters to the editor. That would be me, your editor, Bart. Going to try to move some of those on the page, too, because I figure we can get some good arguments here. We can get some good fights going. First one is from an old pillar named Kelly. He's been around lots of years, at least 5. But now and then, you know what's funny about sometimes when people, if they've been reading a long time, you know it's a little sidebar? God forbid I answer somebody's, you know, letter to the editor kind of thing, because sometimes they get back, Bart, I didn't expect a reply. Holy cow, you really wrote to me. How about that? Well, hey, as long as I got you on the deal, let me ask you a couple questions, and then pretty soon we got a one-on-one relationship going, and I kind of dig that, but, you know, there's dozens of readers, and once, you know, if you reply to somebody, they get a little optimistic, and they think, hey, we're email buddies now. So then you start, you know, hey, Bart, did you see the TV show? And pretty soon I got too much mail that I can't answer. But anyway, that's a sidebar we didn't need to go down. Oh, the other thing I was going to say, a lot of times when people have been reading a long time, they figure, well, me and them are close. And so they can afford to speak frankly to me. They don't need to put all that sugary, syrupy honey sauce on it. They're just going to speak to me right like it is. And I can take that. But there's a big difference between saying, Bart, you're a fucking idiot. And Bart, that's a really damn stupid, idiotic idea you had that time. You know, see, there's a big difference between those two. Not sure which way this is going. I'm doing this kind of on the fly. Because as always, have no time. Got one day to do this show. Got a haircut sometime today. Already had to mess with the plumber in the backyard. It's tough being Bart, I'll tell you what, but it beats work for a living. Okay, here we go. Letter from Kelly. Dear Bart, first, thanks so much for the frequent updates. I love your take on things. Now, see, Kelly, he's a sneaky guy. He starts off with a little bit disarming niceties, you know, which is really a tactful way to do it. That's a smart way to do it. Number one, I learned this as a bill collector. You never start out mean. You always start out nice. You really do, you know. If your electricity gets shut off, you don't call and say, hey, you dumb sons of bitches, what the hell is wrong with you stupid pinhead sons of bitches? No, you call and say, jeepers, I have no electricity. I just wanted to check in and see maybe did I do something wrong? You know, you always start out that way. And then when they say, well, yeah, somebody done throwed a switch wrong, then you pile on the guy. Then, you know, if you didn't do it, if you're innocent, then you get to pile on, but you always start nice. Okay, that's what Kelly did. I just read your response to the Clintonismo column, and it hit me. Anytime a lefty complains about her, you say, so, you'd rather have Bush destroy the Constitution and rape the world and blah, blah, blah? Which is not quite what I say. It depends on what you say. What I say depends quite a bit on what you say. And, oh, I love it when people quote me. You know what kills me about the computer? Everybody with a computer has the power to copy and paste. And they never copy and paste my words and say, explain that. No, they read what I said, and they rerun it through their mind a few times, and it's like, well, I'll bet he was talking about this. And they say, Bart, why'd you say we need to shoot all cops? Well, no, I didn't say we need to shoot all cops. Okay, back to the story. No, Chicken Little, I'd rather have a effing progressive who's not totally slimy at the head of my ticket. And she is neither that nor our only remaining option. There are other choices than her. I think he just said that she is not the slimy head of the ticket, which is a nice thing to say about our next president. I love what you do and respect your opinions, but you're making a false dichotomy. Ooh, big word, dichotomy, coming from the Latin dico, meaning double. To say that whoever wins the rethug nomination will be a continuation of Bush and there's no option but Hillary because she's the only Democrat in the race is just not true. When you do that, I want to smash my head through my monitor. Hammer on, Kelly. Well, number one, Kelly, I forgive your violent outburst. Sometimes I have violent thoughts myself. But as a man of peace, I always keep them to myself. So let me try to digress, see what he's talking about. Anytime a lefty complains about her, you say, so you'd rather have Bush destroy the Constitution? Yik, yik, yik. And he says he'd rather have a effing progressive who's not totally slimy at the head of my ticket. Well, it sounds to me like Kelly wants a pony. And I wish we could give everybody a pony. That would be great. I think everybody should have two ponies. But, you know, it just doesn't work. If you live in a little apartment like on Friends, if you live in that kind of apartment, it's real tough to have a pony. So when you ask for a pony, you just might not get what you want, because what you want and what's real sometimes aren't the same thing. It would be great if we had all kinds of choices. If we had, well, no, actually that would suck. I'd rather have two or three choices than 50, because then we got 50 guys on stage trying to debate. Everybody gets 9 seconds to say the position, then a 4-second rebuttal with a 2-second rebuttal after that. That's not going to work. And yes, I'm sorry it takes a lot of money. Oh, great. It's noon here, so the air raid sirens are going off. Which reminds me, when I was a little kid, we're like in third or fourth grade. You know, kids can be cruel. We had a substitute teacher. She was like from Guatemala or something. This was in St. Louis. And so we're sitting there in the middle of class, and the air raid sirens start going off. And the poor teacher, you know, I don't know if they have violence in Guatemala or whatever, but the poor teacher gets a confused, scared look on her face, and everybody's going, run, there's an attack coming. And she's going, oh, no. But then we all let her off the hook. Anyway, go away, siren. But Kelly says, I'm making a false dichotomy to say whoever wins the Rethug nomination will be a continuation of Bush. Well, I think that's pretty obvious. If Ron Paul wins, then I think we can say we're not going to get a continuation of Bush. But everybody else on that stage besides Ron Paul is saying, yeah, I'm, you know, like that idiot Romney. We need double Gitmos. We need 2 Gitmos. And then Rudy's going, well, we need 4 Gitmos. And then Tin Cradles, we need 10 Gitmos. And then, you know, they're all just trying to outright each other, which is crazy. And I'm glad the Democrats don't do that, although a lot of my readers do. A lot of my readers figure, well, the farther I can get to the left, the better it is, because the more left there is, you know, if you're hugging that left wall, if you get thrown off cause because you're too left wing, then that's the greatest person to be. That's the greatest position to be in, to be kicked off cause because you're too lefty. I disagree. I think the common sense and the voters and the mainstream are more toward the center, where the common sense and the voters and the mainstream are. Okay, so yes, whatever Republican gets the nomination, he's going to continue Bush's. He might not do it, but he's not going to say, we're going to go a new direction. He's just going to say, oh, President Bush did a great job, but I want to tweak it just a little bit, and then he'll do whatever. As far as the Democrats, he quotes me, allegedly saying there's no option but Hillary, and she's the only Democrat in the race. It's just not true. Well, I never said she was the only Democrat in the race. I said she was the front runner. And as always, for the 200th time, if you want to attack Hillary, fine. Just attack her on something fair. Don't talk about her cleavage. Don't talk about her whatever else. When you call her Cheney's twin, I think it makes you look stupid. When you call her Bush's twin, I think you look dumb. When you say she's, you know, a lot of the erudite elite leftist types, you know, they come up with all these words about how, you know, she's so militaristic and she's so warlike and she never met a war she didn't like. That's all crap. You just can't be elected president singing Kumbaya, and that's the only point she's trying to get across. Hillary is a nurturer. She's a mother. She's not going to go crazy trying to kick in all the other countries' doors and steal their assets like a man would. And not all men, but, you know, men, that's part of the testosterone aggression thing. You see something, you want it, you go get it. In the old days, came in, hit the woman over the head, drag her in the cave, have sex with her. That's deep down in every man. George Bush is just not able to control himself. He sees something, he wants it, like a little 9-year-old. Or a little 9-month-old, you know, you're jingling the keys in front of him. You go, that's Bush. He saw that oil and just lusted after the oil, so went and got it. But the thing is, again, in closing out, Jesus, we're only in the second letter. It's been 10 minutes. If you want to attack Hillary, attack her for something that just makes some sense. You know, if you notice, I haven't attacked Edwards. I haven't attacked Obama. I attacked Bill Richards a little bit because when he was on Meet the Whore, he just answered some questions as badly as you possibly can. But even then, I was attacking his bad answering skills as opposed to him personally. I'll bet he's a nice guy. Hell, he could be president someday. But when you go after Hillary, just go after something besides, oh, she thinks she's so smart. And, oh, she thinks, don't tell me what she thinks. Tell me about a vote she cast or something. But, Kelly, I hope I answered your question. And I'm moving on. We got another quote here. Oh, we got a trio of Karl Rove quotes. People have been writing, Bart, we need to do some more Karl Rove quotes. Well, here we go. Karl Rove said, I think that the Iraq War critics are going to be seen as small-minded and petty and wrong. And the president is going to be seen increasingly as having made a tough but correct decision by adding additional troops Objection. Everybody said you're going to need 400,000 troops to go in there, and Bush said, no, 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 all we need is 80 or 100. And everybody said, no, no, you're crazy. You're going to need 400. Look how big the country is. They got 25 million people. You can't go with a gang of six. And he said, no, 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 we know what we're doing. Rumsfeld's a genius. Cheney's a genius. They know what they're doing. Get out of the way. And then when they get over there and total disaster hits, then they say, well, let's add some more people. And it worked a little bit. And so they're saying, see what a genius is. Well, no, you went down the wrong damn road, killed 4,000 soldiers, and now that the 4,000 soldiers are dead, you're saying, well, maybe you're right. Let's try it your way. And everybody's talking about what a genius Bush is. No, it doesn't work that way, Mr. Rove. Back to Rove. Nobody can risk looking disrespectful to the president without paying a price, and they need to understand that. Well, he must be talking to the Republicans, because I don't give a fuck about showing Bush any respect. He hadn't earned any respect. I guess the office might have a little respect going to it, but consider what they did to our president when we had a real president that was elected by the people, did a great job, cut spending, balanced the budget, never sent a man into battle who didn't come home alive. That's what kind of president we have. And what they do, they impeached him because he had a girlfriend. They don't believe in justice. They don't believe in peace. They don't believe in the one man's right to vote. They don't believe in anything that's American. I don't know how them crazy bastards get elected. Oh, yeah, I do. The Democrats lay down for him. Okay, here we go. Second Karl Rove quote. I don't like to be slandered. Karl Rove, comma, responding to a member of Duke University who shouted at him, you're a murderer. Well, when you design policies that kill thousands of people and tens or hundreds of thousands in the country you invaded, yeah, you're kind of stuck with that murderer label. If you call Pinochet a murderer, are you slandering him? If you call Pol Pot a murderer, if you called Stalin, if you called Hitler, you know, there's some people you can call murder. Well, it's not quite slander. As a matter of fact, some people might call it true. And that would be you, Mr. Rove. You are a murderer. And if you don't like to be slandered, blow me. Hey, Karl Rove, you want to sue old Bart? Tell you what. Come to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'll meet you at the courthouse. Just tell me when. I'll pay your filing fees, and we'll go to court and see between the two of us who the judge is going to side with, who the jury is going to side with. I'll make you cry like a baby. I'll make him a bitch right there in court. We'll film it. We'll record it. We'll broadcast it on YouTube. I'll be famous. Uh-oh, don't want to be famous. Maybe someone will send me some money. Yeah, that would be the ticket. Quote number three. Oh, I lied. I don't have a trio call Rove report. I lied. I don't have a trio call. Ready? I don't have a trail of Karl Rove quotes. I got two Karl Rove quotes and a Bill O'Reilly. And I don't know why he said this. I think I kind of know where he might have meant to go. But Bill O'Reilly said, quote, There are few journalistic standards left these days. Have we... Oh, fuck, I can't read. I can't speak. There are few journalistic standards left these days, as we have proven on this broadcast again and again. I think he kind of meant that they pointed out some bad journalistic standards, but actually, Mr. O'Reilly, when the only way you can win an argument is to scream, shut up, shut up, shut up, at your opponent, I got a feeling that you're not into journalistic standards yourself, you crazy bastard.
Brace yourself for Earthquake!
Thank you. Good to be in L.A., y'all. I just got back from Mississippi. It's good to be back in America. I went to Mississippi. I was the smartest brother in the whole state. People just coming up to me, asking me questions like, who the president? I'm like, George Clinton, nigga. Tomorrow, Sunday is Easter, you know, everybody go to church. I'm not going to church. Too expensive. The cover charge is a bitch. I went one Sunday, they was passing around 8-9 plates. I just pulled my own plate out, passed that around. That's for earthquake. I'm short this week. I read the Bible. I know I got to pay my tithes, my 10%. I give God his money when I see him. And if he asked me why I was holding on to it, I said it was a lot of false prophets on earth. I ain't know who to give your money to. And I ain't want to give it to the wrong person, still owe you when I got up here. And ain't no sense of paying if I ain't make the list. Because I'm going to need that money for cold water and air conditioner. I'm glad to see white people, y'all out here hanging again, because 9-11 had y'all shook. Ah, the only good thing about 9-11, for the first time ever, a crime is committed and black people ain't the suspect. And I'm loving that shit. But you know, black people can never be no terrorists. We don't fit that profile. Because you got to be on time with a bomb. A brother will fuck around, oversleep, boom, ain't this a bitch? I knew I forgot to do something. I know I should have said it for Saturday. I know I ain't have enough time to drop this bomb off and go by the check cashing joint. But then again, a black man could never be a terrorist because Osama bin Laden, he's a coward. But something else he is, he a hell of a motivated speaker. Because ain't no way you can get a black man to kill himself and your ass stay in the cave. You have to tell me the plan like 14 times. I be in there holding up the mission. Before we leave, I gotta ask Sodom one more question. Okay, I get the bomb from a doula. I get on flight 80-80-80. Now, how I get back here with you? See, that's the shit I don't understand. Okay, one more time. I get the bomb from a doula. I used to do drugs, but shit, I seen Whitney Houston on TV. That bitch made me throw all my cocaine away. I don't give a fuck what you say. You're supposed to be losing weight around your knees and shit. What kind of drugs this bitch is using? She done fucked her kneecaps up. Whitney Houston's so skinny, when she be singing, you can see the words coming through this bitch's throat. It's like karaoke. I'm just singing with this bitch. Trying to get me a TV show. I can't get no TV show. It's rough. I swear I can't get on my... Hey, Lord, I audition for everything. The worst day of my life, I auditioned for Planet of the Apes. They wouldn't let a nigga play an ape. I'm like, damn, a brother can't get no ape work. They send me a script with nothing but growls. I'm just practicing. I'm going to get this part. I'm going to have a real black show. Ain't no real black shows on. I'm going to have a real black show. Supposed to come on 11 o'clock, going to come on 11:20. Some days ain't even going to come on. Because, you know, black people late by nature. There's some slaves still on their way over here. Some people say Jesus is black. I don't know if that's true or not. But that would explain why it's taking them so long to come back. Black people could be anything except for one thing. Oh, I know one thing. Black man could have never been Noah. Ain't no way a black man was Noah. Because ain't no way no black family could have been on no boat for 40 days and 40 nights and didn't eat them two chickens.
You know, I sure hope you like the new format here, because I'm such an idiot. 129 shows went by before I could figure out that all I had to do was do that day's page on the radio show, and that would become a radio show. That's so easy to do. See, the biggest problem with all the delay in this, well, A, I got to have a big block of time to work on a show, but B, coming up with something, you know, I pull stuff out of the newspaper, I'd watch TV and try to pull out these little audio clips, which takes all the time in the world. But really, just, you know, a newspaper in my hand is a pretty good way to get an issue kicked out. But even better than that, instead of me having to go through a newspaper, hey, if I turn on my computer and go to my inbox on my mail, I got quotes, I got letters, I got news, I got everything but damn cartoons I can do on the radio. So, yeah, it'd be great if you like the new format. If you do, let me know about it. If you don't, we're going to go back to, I don't know, I think I may stick with this for a while because it works. I'm a Democrat, I have a small brain, so if I find something that works, I'm going to keep doing it, unlike a lot of people. Okay, got a couple of quotes from Bob Hirschfeld, which you don't know Bob. I think he's an amateur fella. He's maybe a lot like myself. He may be a dude with a modem. But the little thing I saw, it said, we got some amateur quotes due to the writer's strike. In other words, if Leno and Letterman, and again, isn't it disappointing that Letterman and Leno and Jon Stewart and Colbert, they cannot go on TV. They cannot stand in front of a camera because their 25 writers didn't show up. I find that strangely empowering that I can do a show without 25 writers, but they can't. What does that mean? I don't know. Time to go to Bob Hirschfeld jokes. These are jokes that they would, since the writers are on strike, they have to go get amateur jokes. Here's a couple of amateur jokes. Oprah Winfrey will campaign for Barack Obama the first time the talk show host has become directly involved in a presidential campaign. Her appearances with Obama are sure to draw big crowds, especially since everyone who attends gets a free car. Now, that's not bad for an amateur joke. Here's another one. Oprah will be campaigning for Barack Obama because she says she is impressed with his candidacy. In response, Hillary Clinton noted that Oprah was also once impressed with the authenticity of author James Fry. Which, if you remember, I called her on that before she did her big reversal. I'm not saying Oprah listened to Bart Cop Radio and decided, hey, Bart's right, I got to back off of this James Fry worship. Because if you remember, he wrote the book about, oh, he did this and that, and it sold, you know, a million copies, made him rich, made him famous. And then somebody, might have been the smoking gun, somebody said, well, wait a minute, you said you did this, but you can't do that. And you said you did that? That doesn't make any sense either. And you said you did this? Well, I called and they said that didn't happen. Anyway, the guy tracked him down. Turns out he made it up, a whole lot of it. I'm sure some of it was true, but he made up parts of it. So Oprah said, well, that's okay. I mean, he's trying to sell a book. Well, no, when you sell a book, you know, if you're writing James Bond, you can put whatever you damn want in it. But if you're writing my life story, then you kind of need to be grounded somewhere on the planet Earth. Oprah said, oh, what the hell? Let it go. And I said, no, Oprah, can't do that. Bad, bad, wrong, wrong, wrong. And so she came out a few days later and said, well, yeah, I guess there is something wrong about lying to make a whole lot of money. Here's one from John in Chicago. Another pillar, been around a long, long time. He says, Bart. Oh, the subject is Koresh's warrant. Bart, you really need to break out the hammer on these conspiracy kooks. The warrant that was served in Koresh was not an arrest warrant. It was a search warrant. Parentheses, search warrant W93-15M. Now, whenever someone includes detail, you know they're telling the truth. Just kidding. But I believe he's telling the truth. That is really the whole premise of these idiots, that a misdemeanor warrant was being served. I think it's okay to mistrust the government, believing every drop of bullshit the way some of these kooks do is just bullshit on a stick. Which, I don't know, perhaps John had a beer or two before he wrote that, but I see what he's saying. And the whole point is, if you got a warrant, you're going to kind of need to surrender or fight the government. And that's what he tried to do, and that's how he got himself and all those kids killed. I said this again and again. You know, it's funny how if I say something and there's dozens of people read it, and if nobody says you're wrong and here's why, I kind of figure I'm right. But the deal with Koresh is they'll like the people of Cuba, they'll like people of North Korea, maybe Iraq, Iran, those kinds of places, that if, or even your parents, if the person who controls your life, now that's either going to be your parent or your president, your leader, whatever, if they are crazy, then yeah, you've got a bad situation. If you're a 5-year-old kid and your parents are snake handlers, you might not make it to 6 because you've got crazy parents, and I'm sorry, but shit does happen. If you're born in North Korea and you don't have, you know, if you're eating bark off of trees for supper, I'm sorry, but shit does happen. If you're in Cuba, we can't help you. If you're in Iran, there's a lot of places where we can't help you, because if the person in charge of your life is crazy, you just got a bad thing out of life. Now, if a man's beating a woman on the street, yeah, people can stop him. Cops can stop him, step in, do this and that. But in the Koresh case, he had all those kids. I figured, what, there was 120 of them or something, 80 of them, something like that, in the compound. And he got surrounded. He decided it was time to, you know, that he saw Jesus on a cloud. So and they've got tapes of this. I don't know why the people say, Bart, you want to know the truth. Read this book, watch this video, that kind of thing. Well, I personally have heard, maybe they faked it. I can't verify everything that comes in, but I've heard the tapes where they had microphones in Koresh's compound where he said, all right, light the gas. You know, he said, take the gasoline and put a 5-gallon jug here and a 5-gallon jug there and spread some around on that. And then when they started coming with the tanks, he said, light the gasoline. And so there's going to be people accuse the government or Reno or Clinton or ATF or whatever killing those people. But that's not true. And we'll get into that later. But anyway, thanks to John in Chicago for kicking off the Koresh section of today's show.
Hey, welcome to Red State Update. My name's Jackie Bro.
I'm Dunlap, and if we look drunker than usual, it's because we just got done watching the CNN YouTube Republican debate.
Oh, hell.
Terrible.
Hell.
Who you think did the best, Jackie?
Hell, I don't know. I still like old Fred Thompson, though.
Thompson?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What color is his skin now, even? Right. He looks awful. Oh. His skin looks like when you take hamburger meat out of the freezer, start frying it in a pan, it turns that ashy gray.
What?
And there's still faint veins of pink underneath. Gross.
Oh, good Lord. I admit he didn't look too good, but it's probably the makeup person's fault. They did a bad job on him before he went on there. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to get a refund from the funeral parlor that did it.
Oh,
zing.
Hell.
Hey, and you know what? He looked like he was about ready to go on Dancing with the Stars compared to old McCain. McCain looked awful.
Yeah.
He looked like old and like got paper thin skin hanging off his jowls. Just white and pale. Looked like Kabuki McCain.
Yeah.
Looked like a gentleman ghost about to nod off and dream about when people still thought he was awesome.
Oh, McCain, you just need to give it up. You've been through enough. Just go home, get some rest.
We're worried about you.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you know what my favorite part of the debate was?
Why?
When old Tom Tancredo and Duncan Hunter swapped podiums and nobody noticed.
What?
It's awesome. They was answering each other's questions and nobody caught on.
Oh, just like that movie, The Parent Trap.
Just like The Parent Trap. Then they went home with each other's wives.
What?
Well, they was just continuing the joke and then their wives didn't catch on either. So they were like, well, let's see where this leads.
Oh, hell.
Oh, what'd you think about Hillary Clinton's gay general? Friend.
Oh, good Lord. If Hillary Clinton's going to make friends with a general, you best bet it's going to be a gay one.
They wasted a whole question on a Hillary Clinton plant when they could have got in a bunch more YouTube-style questions. Like, they could have had somebody dressed up like a duck. Or they could have had a squash with the mouth painted on it.
Yeah.
What do you think about illegal immigration? Squash.
I'd like to see a squash talking. That'd be good with mouth on it. But old McCain, he'd be looking up at that screen and squash talking. He'd be going, good Lord, I wish I was back at the Hanoi Hilton. He couldn't handle it.
And then somebody give a gay general a microphone.
Oh.
Never give a gay general a microphone. Oh. He just went on and on with that gay general talk, like 14 extra gay general minutes.
He just kept going on. Next thing I know, I thought he was about to get everybody to join him with a Judy Garland sing-along out there.
This ain't a piano bar, gay general.
Sit your gay general ass down.
Oh, you know who's real nice and funny and folksy, though, Jackie?
Who?
Huckabee.
Yeah, Huckabee had a couple good things to say, I reckon. Oh, I'll tell you one thing I like. When he said old Jesus was too smart to run for political office. Yes, sir.
That's true.
Like
you don't hear a lot of people talking about how smart Jesus was.
No.
I mean, they say he's like full of love and miracles,
yeah.
You know, and good sayings.
Yeah.
But they don't say, you know who was smart? Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, real smart, yeah.
And Jesus, if you're listening, I know you never run for political office, but did you get a chance to see the debate and see who we're stuck with? I don't know if you would ever consider throwing your crown into the ring, but if you're worried about the Jew thing, Republicans have come to learn to love Lieberman.
And vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and what about the rocket ship?
Oh,
that's funny.
That was funny. Said he's going to send old Hillary Clinton to Mars, Huckabee said. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. You know, he's the only Huckabee could get away with that.
Yeah.
Giuliani and Romney tried to say that. They just sound like mean asses.
Oh, hell, they sound that way no matter what they say.
You know, I'm laughing about it now, old Huckabee, but I still don't know what that means. How you going to get Hillary Clinton on a rocket?
Oh, hell, he'll get Chuck Norris, kick her in the head.
Oh, yeah, and just drag her on.
Yeah, there. Drag
her
on. Like shoot her off. Yeah.
All right.
That'd be good.
Then Romney got a question about black-on-black crime, his area of expertise.
Right.
And the question come from a little black kid and his black daddy. And Romney's like, well, I'm glad to see that black child has a black daddy standing next to him.
Yeah, listen up, black people. Mitt Romney's going to talk to you.
If you can't listen to Bill Cosby, at the very least, will you listen to Mitt Romney?
Hell.
Oh, and then Romney couldn't even answer a Bible question.
Yeah.
How can a Republican candidate not answer a Bible question? They asked him, do you think every word in the Bible's true? And Romney's like, the Bible. What can I say about the Bible? You know, I may interpret the Bible differently from other people.
You think?
Romney, I know you got a Bible. Why don't you look through it once in a while?
Yeah.
The Bible is the big black book, not the little blue one.
Yeah, the one without Indians in it.
Yeah, I wish the
Bible did have Indians in it, that'd be awesome.
That'd be all right. Indians rumping around, hooting and hollering. Yeah.
Sunday school would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, you know, tomorrow internet's going to be all like all them crazy Ron Paul people going, oh, Ron Paul didn't get enough time in the debate.
Oh, good Lord, I'm glad he didn't. It was hard enough to sit through it as it is.
And then Giuliani got the patented CNN end on a lame joke question. They asked him about baseball. Now they should just recycle that Hillary question. Which do you prefer, diamonds or pearls?
Yeah.
Because he wears dresses.
Yeah.
All right, so CNN YouTube debates are done, over. Are you mad we wasn't innocent?
Hell no. We already did our part to cheapen the American political system.
Different. Different tastes in music. Makes no difference what you like. If you want it, we got it. Right here.
Here comes a quote. Oh, you might like this one. This is Grover Norquist, the crazy bastard. He said, in looking at the records of all the Republican candidates, yours clearly stands out. This is a letter he wrote to somebody. Your records stand out. You are the most successful tax cutter in modern New York history. Big clue. And on balance, the most successful tax cutter in the Republican field today. Grover Norquist responding to a note from Rudy the Crossdresser about his tax-cutting record. Well, I don't know a lot about Rudy and his tax-cutting record. It would be my guess that San Francisco and New York have the highest taxes in the United States, but you get the most bang for your buck. Haven't been to New York lately. Went to San Francisco this summer. And in San Francisco, it's relatively clean. The streetcars work. The BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit System, that seems to work. You know, the town seems to work. Plus, they go that extra mile. They have, like, the recycling centers, and they have, I don't know what their law is about the bums. I remember I was accosted by four street persons. I'm sorry. But me and Mrs. BART were wandering around downtown the first night we got there, and lots of people came up and said, dude, give me some money, please. And I thought, like, no, dude, can't help you. God forbid I pull out a $5 bill and give to you. I'm going to be swarmed by these street people. The street people are everywhere in San Francisco. Don't understand it. I don't have enough opinion about it to say what they need to do to fix it. But I seem to remember years and years ago, they passed a law that you can't shoo a bum away. Something to that effect. You know, the idea of a cop showing up and telling a bum, beat it. Well, he goes to the next block and someone else tells him to beat it. But, you know, they need a place to go. Let's be humane towards our fellow human being there. New York and San Francisco, let's say, have the highest taxes in the country, so the opportunity to cut those taxes is greater. Remember when, this is the rumor, I wasn't aware in 1960, but when John Kennedy became president, they say the tax rate was 69-70%, somewhere in there. And he cut it down to 30, let's say. Hand jobs like Rush always talk about, oh, the Democrats lost their way. They used to have guys like JFK that were tax cutters. Well, yeah, if taxes are 70%, they need to be cut to 30. But now that they're at 30, that don't mean you cut them to 20. Oh, I'm more Reagan than you are, so we got to cut them to 10. Oh, I'm more Reagan than you are, so we got to cut them to 5. Oh, I'm more Reagan than you are, so we got to cut it to 0. Yeah, there you go. Great country we have where it costs nothing to live here. Perfect. We got no firemen. We got no military. We got no policemen. We got no paint on the roads, we got no meat inspectors, we got no airplane inspectors, perfect, let's all live there. Not. So if Rudy cut some taxes, he only did it because there was room to cut, but he probably cut some services too, that bastard. Here comes another quote. Quote is from Don Imus, famous racist with a microphone. His quote is, Chris Dodd is not going to be president. Hello? Now, this is Wednesday. Apparently, Monday or Tuesday, Imus had Chris Dodd on the show. And Chris Dodd, I'm guessing, is a fair guy. He thought, hey, Imus should not lose his livelihood over a single mistake. Well, he's a multiple repeater, but you know what I mean. It seems to me that Chris Dodd did Imus a favor by being a presidential candidate, going on his show. It's real possible that Don Imus' first few days could get nobody to come on his show. That is possible. Don't know enough about Imus. Don't know enough. We don't even get Imus here. The only time we get Imus here is on, we used to get MSGOP. He'd open it up at 5 o'clock in the morning with the worst radio opening. Remember, I played it for you once. This is how he opened the show. Yeah, what the hell? Might as well. All right, you want to do that? Okay. And there's like five more minutes of that, and then finally said, welcome to the Don Imus Show. And I thought, damn, that opening that Tommy Mac gave me was 10 times better than that. Maybe 25 times, maybe 50 times, maybe 100 times better than that bullshit Don Imus opening. But anyway, so he's back on the air. He has Chris Dodd on, talks to Chris Dodd. As soon as Chris Dodd leaves, he said, Chris Dodd not going to be president. Hello? Which is a real fine way to stab a guy in the back who agreed to come help you out after the country, will say, kicked you in the teeth, threw you out of your job, threw you out of your livelihood, took away your paycheck, told you to go F yourself, told you to get lost, and then they kind of had to reconsider, let's talk about it. And now you allow you back, and what do? You kick one of the first guests right in the teeth, in a sense, in essence, tell him go fuck himself. Well, gee, Don, maybe we were right the first time. Maybe you don't belong on the air. Here's a quote from Rick Brookhiser. He works for NRO. Now, what could that be? National Republican Orgasms, maybe. Rick Brookhiser's quote is, well, the Huckabee swarm. Now, as far as I know, there's only one Huckabee, and I don't think he flies, but anyway. While the Huckabee swarm, keep an eye on Ron Paul, whom I predict will do better than any poll shows. I don't know how many wicked idiots there are in Iowa, but every single one of them will come out, says Rick Brookhiser. Well, I don't know. Do you have to be a wicked idiot to vote for Ron Paul? Seems to me Ron Paul is the conservative in the race. They all talk about being conservative, but when did conservative mean backing every bullshit idea that Bush has? Let's invade other countries. Let's cut taxes. Let's screw off our jobs. Let's spend all the money we can in the whole world and cut taxes at the same time. And on top of that, we'll have a big war. And on top of that, we'll sell the United States assets to whoever's got $50 in their pocket. Well, whichever Bush crony. So you got Bush out there selling land rights and drilling rights and digging rights and mining rights to whoever shows up. You know, I forget the situation, but there's somebody like Weyerhaeuser, one of those big lumber guys. You know, these guys, they either rent the rights to cut down trees on some property, but they rent it like $1 an acre. You know, if we're going to be fair about this, they're going to turn around and sell that lumber. It's not like they're giving it away. If this was a Habitat for Humanity, maybe you could do something like this. But to give them $1 an acre for this lumber, for to get them in there cutting down trees, and then let them turn around and sell that on the market for the market value? Well, no. If you're for market forces at the end, you got to be for market forces at the beginning. So, you know, the idea of Bush turning over, here's Yellowstone, go drill in it. Well, no, it's not yours to give away, monkey. That boy, he's going to go down in history as the biggest monkey ever, and who told you first? Well, actually, that guy, remember years ago, it's been a long time now, 7, 8 years, that guy, Bush or chimp, you know, there'd be a picture of Bush on the left and a picture of a chimp on the right, and it's hard to tell which was which, because the chimp and Bush were making the same deal. He might have been the first guy to come up with Bush's chimp, but boy, about the time, I don't know, I think I predated that with, you know, the old knuckle-dragging thing, meaning that, you know, when you see a gorilla walk, he walks on his hands, and then he walks on his knuckles, and he walks on his hands, his knuckles, he just does that. That's what a monkey does. That's what a gorilla does. That's what a caveman does. That's what a troglodyte does. And that's what the Republican Party is. How old's the earth? Well, just 2,000 years, because Moses wrote dinosaurs to church. You know, no, he didn't. And quit saying that. Hey, John McCain, how old's the Grand Canyon? Oh, 2,000 years. Not. It doesn't work that way, Mr. McCain. You're trying to be president of the religiously insane? Fine. If you want to be president of the United States, you're going to have to at least have a pinky or a couple of toes in the logic camp. You can't have all 10 toes in the religiously insane camp, you crazy man. Okay, here we got an email to Jonas Goldberg, as you know, son of bad seed. His mother blew LBJ repeatedly, as the cartoon you've seen on the page many, many times. And word has it that one day, LBJ just wasn't in the mood for some oral sex. He thought, let me get some good old-fashioned, well, regular sex. And that's how Jonas was born. Let's see, Jonas is probably about 40, 45. So he's probably conceived about 62, 63, 64. That's about right. Yeah, that's about right. I'm pretty sure LBJ is Jonas Goldberg's dad. Anyway, here's the email to Jonas Goldberg. Speaking for myself, there is no policy that I think a Mormon would pursue that I find objectionable. Well, that's a tough sentence to get past. I will not vote for a Mormon because they claim to be Christian when they are not Christians. electing or even nominating a Mormon continues to send a message to Americans that Mormons are fine and dandy. Mormons are fine and dandy. I just like the sound of that. Christians like everyone else. Oh, Mormons are fine and dandy Christians. This guy's bad with his commas. You know, I am not Joe English major. I have spelling mistakes. Most of the mistakes you see are due to no time. You know, I know how to spell words like the, you know, but sometimes it comes out H-T-E. Sorry, but 90 miles an hour I'm flying here. It's just real hard to get all your ducks in a row. But there are so many people who can't write worth a damn. And, you know, a lot of the monkey mail I get, they say, well, what do you think about that? And there's no question mark at the end, and I got to read it 2-3 times. Hey, I'm a busy man. I got shit to do. If it's a question, put one of them squiggly little snaky deals at the end of it to let me know it's a question. Also, a lot of good people do this, though. Wouldn't hurt to capitalize the first word of a sentence just because there's some people don't use periods at the end of the last sentence. So if you capitalize the first one of the next sentence, it gives me some clue where to stop and start. I hate that. Okay. Electing or even nominating a Mormon continues to send a message to Americans that Mormons are fine and dandy Christians like everyone else. Thousands of Christians are converted to Mormonism each year. I did not know that. And it is done under false pretenses. Well, it's religion. Of course it's false pretenses. What are you, stupid? Talking about religion and false pretenses, I wish somebody would explain to me why good, God-fearing Republican Christians or Democrats, they see no problem at all with mocking the 72 virgins that Muhammad Atta got for blowing up the World Trade Center. They think, oh, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who in the world buys such idiocy? 72 virgins, how stupid, how fucking dumb do you think we are? What kind of idiot is going to buy the 72? They must be these Middle Eastern people. They must have small brains. They must somehow, they drill into these idiot brains, these poor, non-thinking morons, that they're going to get 72 virgins when they die. You know, we all agree that's crazy. But here in America, when we die, we know we're going to the big cloud castle in the sky where you live forever and you get all your wives show up and you get all the puppy dogs and kitty cats you had all your whole life. They're all going to be there. Yeah, we buy that. We buy that in a heartbeat. But the 72 virgins, oh, that's crazy. Oh, please, 72 virgins, where you from? Well, you know, when you die, your brain shuts off, and that's it, and you're dead. And there ain't no giant cloud castle. There ain't no hell. There ain't no God. There ain't no purgatory. Well, I think they demoted purgatory. See, there you go. As far as you know, in 6 months, the Pope's going to say there is no heaven. And here all this time you've been striving and doing without and not touching yourself so you can get to heaven. Oh, please. That's just so nutty. The 72 virgins versus the giant cloud castle, you know. Who's the stupid people? Anyone that believes, you know, when you run over a dog in the street, the dog ain't going to doggy heaven. You run over a dog in the street, you crush its brain, you crush the dog, he's dead. It ain't getting back up. No matter what anyone tells you, the dog's dead. When a human dies, you're dead. That's it. You ain't going to heaven. You ain't going to hell. You're not going on Ghost Whisper. You're not going to send messages back to the earth. Houdini didn't do it. If Houdini didn't do it, what makes you think you can do it? Craziness. Okay, closing out this email to Jonas Goldberg. Bad seed. Thousands of Christians are converted to Mormonism each year. I did not know that. And it is done under false pretenses. And what I've read, Mormons are very good at appearing to be Orthodox Christians with new recruits. Oh, them sneaky Mormons. It is only later that the blatantly non-Orthodox views come out. So I rule out voting for a Mormon, not because of actual policies in my pursuit, but because of the message their election would send to Americans. I don't think I'm a bigot. No, not you, dude. I would just like the fastest growing faith in America to call itself what it is, a new religion that sprung out of the Judeo-Christian tradition. End of email. Don't have the guy's name, like it matters. But that was an email to Jonas Goldberg. Wild guessing that Jonas Goldberg said, Romney's probably not that bad a guy. So this guy's writing back, oh, they false pretenses, the new recruits, and they trick you, them tricky Mormons. They show you this and they give you that. And one other thing about the Judeo-Christian tradition, I don't think so. I think you got the Christian tradition and you got the Jewish tradition. And because they want to lump them two together, I guess this is a pro-Israel thing, which, you know, I don't go there. But you never hear anything about the Muslim/Christian traditions. You never hear anything about the Buddhist/Christian traditions. But somehow the Christians and the Jews, they're hardly indistinguishable. Just because they believe in the old, more vengeful God, and we believe in the slightly less vengeful God. somehow our values align. Well, that don't make any damn sense to me, but then neither does religion.
Now for the top story tonight. Another moron, but this one may have violated the law. Far-left radio commentator Mike Malloy was once heard on the despicable Air America network, recently said this about White House spokesperson Scott McClellan and Dana Perino.
I used to have violence fantasies about Scott McClellan because of the impenetrable wall of idiocy and supposed ignorance, some of which was probably not supposed, that behind which he used to hide at every press conference. All those feelings are being shifted now to Dana Perino. We're going to haul all these pigs out in front of the American people, and they're going to be forced to testify. If you testify and tell the truth, nothing will happen to you except you can take your shame and humiliation and go about your business.
The question, was that monologue a threat? Joining us now from Hartford, Connecticut, Asha Rangappa, a former FBI agent who specialized in counterintelligence. Okay, now, in 2005, Randy Rhodes, another nut on the Air America network, was investigated by the FBI for an on-air stuff she did involving a gunshot warning to President Bush. What is the standard where the FBI, Secret Service, would get involved in investigating someone like Ms. Rhodes or this Metter guy?
Well, when a threat is made against a public official, particularly against the president, it's going to be taken seriously by law enforcement. In the case of the president, it'll usually be handled by the Secret Service, and their goal will be to determine whether it's a credible threat and also to neutralize any imminent danger that the president...
All right, now you just heard this Malloy person say what he said, that he had violence fantasies, called them pigs and that. Would that be enough, in your opinion, based upon your experience, for somebody to go in and check this guy out?
Sure. The Secret Service would do some investigating to determine whether this is a credible threat. They would look at potentially his criminal background, his propensity for violence, the context in which the comment was made, the specificity, and his ability
to carry out
the threat.
All right. So what he said, this Malloy, could get him investigated by the authorities. Now,
Sure. What's
the difference between saying something about White House personnel, congressional personnel, Congress, House of Representatives, and just regular folks? Is there a difference in the law?
Yes, there is. Public officials have additional protection. They are exposed to a greater number of people. Our history shows that they are more vulnerable to certain types of threats, and therefore threats against them are taken more seriously.
Is there a law, a specific law, that you can be prosecuted if you say certain things? Look, people say, I want to kill Bill O'Reilly all the time, all right? And there's nothing I can do about that unless they show up and they act in a menacing way. But if I say, I want to kill President Bush, or I have violent fantasies about his White House spokespeople, can they be prosecuted just for saying that?
Well, you will be examined more closely or investigated based on what you say, but whether you'll be prosecuted for it is going to be determined by your intent behind what you say.
All right, so you'd have to have some kind of actionable cause that you would bring in. Now, when Secret Service, FBI are around a president, vice president, or and members of Congress, and they see an individual with an offensive sign, maybe an obscene sign, something like, they can remove by law that individual from the proximity of the public servant, correct?
If it is construed or determined to be a threat to the person that they are protecting, yes.
All right, so if this Mike Malloy showed up at a Bush speech or something like that, you could grab the guy and take him out just about what he said in the past.
Maybe and maybe not. Again, it would. I don't know the details of what they might have found out about him.
Well, just say they don't find anything about him, but he's on the record as saying that he's had violent fantasies about two White House personnel. Maybe one of the personnel is in the proximity of the president. He shows up. Can you yank him out of there?
You can if you determine that he may be willing to act on that threat, if it's determined based on an investigation of other factors.
All right. That's a little murky, but I guess that's all we can do. I'd yank him out of there myself. I wouldn't take a chance, not with what all the violence we've had against our presidents in the past. Mr. Rangappa, thanks for your time.
Here we got a letter from a guy named Greg. Bart, there are lies, damn lies, and Bush-Cheney lies. Politicians are like mirrors in that they reflect the morons who elected them. The electorate can't handle the truth, so they get lies. It's a perfect circle, a daisy chain, if you will. My understanding of a daisy chain... Oh, this is going to get weird, but you get like 10 people at a sex party, and person A works on person B, and person B doesn't work on person A in reciprocation. No, the person B works on person C, and then C works on D, and then D works on E, and then F, and then G, and then somehow when it gets down to H or J or L or something, then he's working on A. Now, this is really bizarre. You know, I enjoy sex, but I've never had sex with another man in the room. Here I am confessing. I've never done that. You know, in some of these porno films, you see a couple guys working on a girl. Not me. I want to be the only guy in the room. All right, back to the Clintons lied about personal behavior and cattle futures. Well, I think he lied about personal behavior. I'm not sure anyone lied about the cattle futures, although that is a possibility. Bush-Cheney lied about shredding the Constitution and killing people to steal oil. Guess what the morons will remember? Good point. You're right. They talked about the scandal-plagued Clinton administration. Clinton had one guy on his payroll. No, wait. That Webb Hubble, he did some time for crimes that predated Clinton going to Washington. And somebody else, Mike Espy or one of those guys, accepted a ride to a football game and accepted tickets. I wanted to think he gave his girlfriend $10,000, something like that. Those were big, serious crimes. That and Clinton's blowjob, that is the end-all, be-all of the crimes of the Clinton administration. They talk about all the scandals. Well, most of them were fabricated. Please, Travelgate, Lawngate, Roofgate, Cargate, Footgate. You know, they put a gate on everything and say, well, another scandal. Well, no, doesn't work like that. Meanwhile, Bush has gotten 4,000 soldiers killed and... You know, crimes out the yin-yang. He's been listening to everyone's phone call. I mean, you can't even list the Bush crimes. But you watch. It's going to be the scandal-plagued Clinton administration. And George Bush, oh, he had personal enemies, that's all. Yeah, right. Got a quote for you. And it's from a guy who signs his name CCCXII, which my good Catholic training tells me that is Roman numerals. Let me see. A CCC, that'd be 1,500. And an X would be 10. And a couple of I's would be 12, so you got 1512 is this guy's name. I just think that Rudy's time has not yet come. I have a dream that one day we will live in an America where a cross-dressing, philandering, admitted incest perpetrator... Whoa! Admitted incest perpetrator. Oh, would that be because he married his cousin? Surely, because if he did other incest, they'd let us know. Admitted incest perpetrator who has so many wives... Who's had so many wives, he's in danger of being viewed as a prophet by Mitt Romney. There you go. That's all right. can win the Republican presidential nomination. On the other hand, it might be just that Republicans have come to realize that they're not going to win by nominating the most morally depraved, batshit crazy Italian since Caligula. And I don't think Caligula lived in the year 1512. No, he probably lived more like the year zero. But for some reason, he signs his name 1512. Right on, 1512. Got a quote for you. I say this to the evil Bush. Leave my country. We do not need you and your army of darkness. We don't need your planes and tanks. We don't need your policy and your interference. We don't want your democracy and fake freedom. Get out of our land. Signed, Muqtada al-Sadr. Blasting W for signing a deal with Baghdad. You can't sign a deal with Baghdad. That ensures long-term American military presence in Iraq. Well, now, a couple things. Muqtada al-Sadr has a right to say, get out of my country, because he lives there. He's been in Iraq so long that he lives in Sadr City. Wouldn't it be cool to live in Barkop City? I've been here so long, they named the damn city after me, or my dad, or whatever. Now, but Muqtada al-Sadr is most famous for his dad brought the first Krispy Kreme to al-Sadr. That's how they really got on the map. Boy, I love Mason Krispy Kreme. Which ones do you like? I like the custard filled, and I like the, I like that mostly. I also like the plain, the regular old glaze, but when I'm tired of the custard filled, I like the raspberry. Just in case you know, in case you're on your way here with some, in case you're on your way here bearing gifts, stop at the Krispy Kreme and get some custard filled and some raspberry filled. All right. The other thing is, obviously you can't sign a deal with Baghdad. Bush signed a deal with his puppets that he installed. That ensures a long-term American military presence. No, we're not going to be there very long, just until we get the last drop of oil. Once we get the last drop of oil, we're gone. At that point, it's, hey, freedom rules. You know, you don't need a viceroy. You don't need a superpower occupying your ass. Once we steal that last drop of oil, it's freedom time for your Iraqis. So shut up and get used to it. Oh, here we go, here we go. Time for some pig boy quotes. Well, I'll tell you what. You get some pig boy quotes, that's dynamite. If you're on the left side of the microphone and you get you some pig boy quotes, it's money in the bank. You just can't beat it. Now watch the first one suck. This is from Rush Limbaugh. Ooh. The noted child molester, who, as you know, he's been found guilty of taking Viagra to the Dominican Republic for a boys' night, boys' weekend, something. And when you get to the Dominican Republic, you find some like 9-year-old boys and you have sex with them. Gross. If I was a 9-year-old girl, I don't think I want to have sex with a 9-year-old boy. But here I am, 54-year-old man. Who wants to, Russia's 56. Who wants to have sex with a young boy? Rush, what are you, weird? Do you need some talking to? You need to go talk to a counselor? I realize that every woman you've ever met has said, screw you, piggy pig boy, get away from me. I understand even Marta, who you paid $10 million to stay with you for 10 years. The day that was up, boy, she didn't hang around. She was out that door. Goodbye. You see, the 9-year-old boy, they don't have much sophistication. You could probably win an argument with a 9-year-old, can't you, Rush? Is that how you trick him into bed, Rush? You promise him candy? You promise him a pony ride? What do you promise a little 9-year-old to get him into bed, Rush? You're a bad, bad man. But then your mind is addled from being on all the heroin for so many years. You know, Rush was on heroin for so many years, he lost his hearing. Remember he had that cochlear implant put in his ear? Because it destroyed his hearing. I read about this somewhere, I don't remember, but if you do too much heroin for too long a time, it destroys your eardrum or something. So he had to go get a thing planted in his ear, and then he got caught. And remember, he sent his, the poor housemaid, the poor maid he sends out in the middle of the night to go to Denny's. When we were in Palm Beach, my late good friend Dean, he showed me the Denny's that Rush went to, or that Rush sent his housekeeper to, whatever, the maid, to buy his illegal drugs. And, you know, he got off of that. If Rush was a black kid, 16, 17, 18 years old, sent someone to buy his drugs for him, he'd be in prison now. But because he's wealthy and friends with the governor, it's no harm, no foul. It's okay, it's okay. Okay, so here we go. Rush Limbaugh, noted whore, sexual molester of young boys and heroin addict. He says, I guarantee you we have more evidence that man-made global warming is a hoax than we do on what Iran's doing with nukes. Don't doubt me. That's number one rule with Rush. Don't doubt him. Whatever he says, you agree with. Even if he says something today that's totally different from what he said yesterday, you're still not supposed to doubt Russia. See, like in Russia's world, say someone makes an accusation against Clinton. Clinton says, I didn't do that. He says, well, see, did you notice the guilty tone in his voice? You can always tell when they're guilty by when they give you that, I didn't do that tone. And then if someone accuses Clinton of something and Clinton doesn't answer that, he says, ha, oh, he's so guilty, he doesn't even bother to refute it because everybody knows that's how guilty he is. So in Russia's world, if you go left, you're guilty. If you go right, you're guilty. But if you're Bush, you go left, you're innocent. If you go right, you're innocent. Rush doesn't ever have to make sense. Nothing is that he has is archived, and he appeals predominantly to sheep. They let him off the hook. Now, see, I couldn't stand that. If I was a big Rush fan, I would think, well, Rush, I understand what you're saying. That makes sense. But yesterday you said the opposite made sense. Can you explain how both yes and no, how can yin and yang both fit in the same little deal? You know, sometimes a square thing fits, sometimes a round thing fits. That's just confusing, Rush, because how do you put the square thing in the round? It just doesn't work. But somehow his sheep, and to give him the benefit of the doubt, there's always a chance that the smart Republicans saying, oh, that Rush, he's a hoot. I mean, we know he's kidding because it doesn't make sense most of the time, but he's a hoot to hear him make that shit up. That would make some sense. But no, there are so many people. My, let's see, two bosses back. He looks me right in the eye and said, but Bart, don't you know Rush has been documented right 98.44% of the time? And then, you know, if he wasn't my boss, I would have said, how fucking dumb can you be? Are you kidding me? I mean, you hear the man speak. You think he's right 98% of the time? Are you nuts? But you can't say that to the boss. Oh, but to get back to the point, he guarantees us, Nancy Grace guarantees that we have more evidence that man-made global warming is a hoax. Well, now let's talk about the polar bear. You know, there's a polar bear who can't get to his food because the ice melted. Now, how is that not evidence that we have global warming? I guess you could say it's just getting warm at the poles, but that doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would it only get warm in the coldest places? No, you kind of would think the whole place is getting warmer. And we got these wildfires ravaging California. We played a thing a couple shows back from 60 Minutes how they said 15 years ago, 15 years is nothing. Archaeologically, no, not what's that word? Geography-wise, there's some kind of word about, you know, like the Grand Canyon. You go back, see the Grand Canyon after 10 years, it looks the same. But if you're looking at it over the billions of years, you can see the changes, that kind of thing. In the last 15 years, the number one firefighter in America said that 15 years ago, we hardly had a fire. Now and then you get maybe one or two 100,000 acre fires a year. Now you get 500,000 acre fires all the time. And so that's a change. That's an actual fact thing you can see. But the Republicans say, well, no, since Al Gore was the one that pointed out the obvious, we have to take the opposite side. So there is no global warming, and there's more evidence of what Rand's doing with nukes than the melting ice in front of our eyes. Well, actually, Rush, the estimates of the best spies we have, the smartest people we have that work for the government, the National Intelligence Estimate says that Iran's got no nukes. And so obviously Rush says, well, of course they do. It's so obvious. It's even more obvious than the melted snow. Well, no, Rush, the melted snow is a fact. The idea that the intelligence community decided Iran has no nuclear program, well, actually, that's kind of a fact, too. Well, generally, it's an opinion. You know what I'm saying. But obviously Rush is lying because that's his job. Can you imagine what it's like to get paid $30 million a year to make shit up? For $30 million, isn't it a little bit incumbent on you to tell the truth? It would be nice, but Republicans don't have to play by those rules. Got another Rush quote from you. The administration needs to keep the pressure on Iran, and Bush will. We don't want Iran to be in a position where it has all the tools and the know-how to build a bomb just waiting for the right time to complete it, such as when we have a Democrat in the White House. Well, apparently Rush is saying that they only attack when we have a really weak president. Well, gee, who was president for 9/11? Oh, that's right. It was your boy Bush. And what did he do when we were attacked? He sat there and read the damn goat story. Instead of saying, sorry, kids, I got to run. Presidential business. And getting on the damn phone with the Joint Chiefs and the Pentagon and all that. No, he decided he'd read the goat book story to those little bastards. And they didn't need a goat story at the time. America needed a president, but we didn't have one. And the whole idea after 9/11, how did Osama know that Bush was going to go batshit crazy? You know, Bush could have gone to Afghanistan and got the bad guys, but no. He decided he'd go to Iraq and steal all that oil. And then That way, Osama gets to look at all the Muslims and say, see what I tell you. The first chance he gets, he just picks out a bunch of Muslims and he just starts killing them. And they're going, well, yeah, hard to mess with the facts. It's right before our eyes. We see it clearly. Way to go, Bush. The biggest fuck-up in the history of American presidency. Awesome. Well, there you had it. Breakup Radio, show number 130 in the can. Hope you like it. Hope you like parts of it. Oh, and I really, really hope you can get in with the new format here. If I can pull quotes and mail and news kind of stuff off the page, it's no problemo to do one of these shows. It's real easy because stuff falls in my lap. I hit a button on my keyboard and stuff falls into my head. It just works out perfect. I hope you like it too. So I'm going to get to work on show number 131. It'll be up real quick, barring having to leave the state for funerals. So I'd like to thank the subscribers. I'd like to thank those who send the occasional check in the mail. And if you're listening, you're not a subscriber and not send an occasional check in the mail, shame, shame, shame. This is Barton K. Dragon. Thank you, God, for finally seeing me some cold. You know, I still have to turn on the air conditioner sometimes and the fans in my room because it's damp. Now I got more computers. You know, I got that Mac, so now I got, what's that make, four computers in here? So I got a computer. It just got hotter in my room. Rest of the house pretty cold. Poor Mrs. Bart, she's sitting out there in her chair with her shawls on and her big mug-a-booties and sweaters and stuff on. Too cold out there, too hot in here. Gee, too bad they're in some kind of heat transfer thing, some kind of furnace air conditioning kind of system that would be central to the house. No, no, couldn't have anything like that. Thank you, God. Okay, running out of time. Gotta go. This is Barton K. Dragon saying thank you. Thanks to Chicago Jim for the music. Thanks for the subscribers. You send the occasional check in the mail. Remember, if you put love on your check, won't have to pay no taxes on that. Together, we'll defund this war. We need peace.
Work it, make it, do it. Makes us all better, faster, stronger. Work it,
that don't kill me. Can only make us stronger. I need you to hurry up, man. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya. Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary on the ball tonight. And you don't give a fuck what they all say, right? Awesome, the Christian and Christian Dior. Damn, they don't make them like this anymore. I ask, cause I'm not sure. Do anybody make real shit anymore? Bow in the presence of greatness. Cause right now that has forsaken us. You should be honored by my lateness. That I would even show up to this fake shit. So go ahead, go nuts, go ape shit. Especially in my pastel on my fake shit. Act like you can't tell who made this. New gospel, homie, take six. And take this, haters.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. That's how long I've been on ya.
I need you right now. I don't know if you got a man or not. If you made plans or not. God put me in your plans and that. I'm tripping, this drink got me saying a lot. But I know that God put you in front of me. So how the hell could you front on me? It's a thousand yous, it's only one of me. I'm tripping, I'm caught up in a moment, right? Cause it's Louis Vuitton dine night. So we gon' do everything the kind like. Heard they do anything for a Klondike. Well, I'll do anything for a Blondike. And she'll do anything for the limelight. And we'll do anything when the time's right. Baby, you're making it.
That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now. Cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now. Cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night, man. That's how long I've been on ya.
Like I never told you.
Don't act like I never told ya. 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 Baby, you're making it better, faster, stronger. That don't kill me. Can only make me stronger. I need you to hurry up now, 'cause I can't wait much longer. I know I got to be right now, 'cause I can't get much stronger. Man, I've been waiting all night now. That's how long I've been on ya. Since OJ had isotoners, don't act like I never told ya. You know how long I've been on ya. Since Prince was on Apollonia. Since OJ had isotoners, don't act like I never told ya. 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 Never told ya.